It's a Good Life, coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Our study of the book of John now finds us in chapter 14. Now, if you were with me the last time, you know that we studied how that Jesus was getting ready to go back to the Father. He was getting ready to be offered on the cross of Calvary. And in chapter 14, we're seeing that he's trying to comfort those people who were around him, the apostles and those disciples who had followed him. Well, in verse 5 of chapter 14, we read this. It says there, Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There are so many people today who are saying the same things that some of the same things that Thomas said here. He said, Lord, how can we know the way? And Jesus, just as he did back then, he's telling people today that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father unto the Father but by him. He says, but by me. There's no other way. We can look to good works. Good works is not going to save an individual. Some people have the idea that by keeping the Ten Commandments, by doing works that way, by doing what the Bible calls the law, some people believe that they can do that. They can keep the Ten Commandments, or they can keep the law, and by doing so, they're going to go to heaven. Well, one of the things that people fail to see and understand, that the Bible says if you break one of those commandments, you're guilty of breaking them all. One of the things that I mentioned to an individual that I'm talking to them about leading them to the Lord, telling them the way, they might say, well, I'm doing my best. I'm keeping the Ten Commandments. And I say, well, you know, have you ever lied? And they have to bow their heads. They have to hang their head. And they say, yes, I've done that. Well, then you've broken all of the law. You're guilty of every, the law says, once again, the Bible says that if you break one of the Ten Commandments, you're guilty of breaking them all. So therefore, and no man has ever kept the Ten Commandments except one. Jesus Christ kept the Ten Commandments. No one is saved by the Ten Commandments. That is what God has sent the Ten Commandments for, is to help us realize that we're not good enough. We cannot keep the law. We cannot do the law in order to go to heaven. Jesus came to fulfill the law. He didn't come to do away with it. That means that we don't go around trying to go against those things that are written in the law. Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not covet, and so forth. We're not to go about trying to do the things that are wrong, but Jesus came and he fulfilled the law. He kept the entire Ten Commandments. No one has ever done that except our Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is, once again, our Heavenly Father sent him to keep the law so that you and I would be able to go to heaven. Now, the Ten Commandments, even by Jesus Christ keeping those Ten Commandments, did not save us. The Bible says that we're saved by his blood. We're not saved by works of righteousness. We're not saved by any other way than other than through Jesus Christ. There is no other way. And this is what he told Thomas here. He said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Some people believe that maybe they're good enough to go to heaven. Well, how good is good? How good do you have to be to go to heaven? Well, are you as good as Jesus Christ? That's the first thing I would ask today is to a person who's searching, a person who wants to go to heaven. That's the first thing. One of the things I would say to them, are you as good as Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ went to the cross. He was sinlessly perfect. Are you willing to go to the cross? Are you sinlessly perfect? Well, of course, if a person is honest enough, they're going to say, no, I'm not willing to go to the cross. I haven't been to the cross. And they have to admit I'm a sinner. Well, God loves each one of us, and that's the reason Jesus Christ came into the world. He came to seek and to save those who were lost. Well, notice verse 7. Jesus said, "If ye had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him." Well, the scribes and Pharisees throughout our study of the book of John and through the scriptures, the New Testament scriptures, they sought constantly trying to trap the Lord, trying to get him to a point where they could actually kill him. Jesus had told them on several occasions that he was from the Father, he was from heaven, and that he was God. And that's what he's trying to get across here in this verse. If you had known me, you should have known my Father. Because Jesus Christ is God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, the three in one, God. And I've said this many times, my finite mind cannot comprehend everything. I cannot comprehend the three in one. I know the Bible teaches that, and I know it's true. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they are all one. They're together. You cannot separate them. What I mean by that is they're all powerful. They are all, when I say they are all God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. I do know that there is a Trinity according to the Word of God, and I accept that by faith, because the Bible tells me that there is a Trinity. Now, the word Trinity is not listed there, but we know by studying the Word of God that the Trinity exists in God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Trinity means triune. The triune God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they're all powerful. They have different positions. They have different things to do. And Jesus came. His was to come and to die for sinful man and women. Verse 8, Philip saith unto him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." Well, he said, "Lord, show us the Father. We'll believe if you show us the Father." Jesus saith unto him in verse 9, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father?" Now I remind you once again that Jesus Christ is God, that when you see him, when you've seen him, you've seen God. He is a representation of God the Father. God the Father is the one who sent Jesus Christ to this earth to give his life for you and I. When we look at Jesus Christ, we're seeing God. He's a reflection of God the Father. Verse 10 says, "Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The works that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works." Now remember, the scribes and Pharisees, they wanted to kill Jesus because he made himself equal with God, God the Father. He made himself equal because he is God, and he was with God the Father in heaven. And we've read that in our study of the book of John. He said that he came from above. That means he came from heaven. He came from God the Father. He had a job to do, and he came to this earth. Well, he's telling them the same thing here. He's telling Philip this. Once again, "Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The works that I speak, or the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works." Remember, Jesus came to glorify the Heavenly Father. He came and he spoke of the Father. Every work that he did, he gave the Father credit for it. He said the Father was empowering him to do these things. And remember, Jesus Christ was also man. He was 100% God and 100% man. Once again, I can't understand that because I cannot comprehend with my human mind how that can be, but I know it's true because the Bible tells me that. The Word of God tells me that Jesus Christ was man, he was born of woman, and that he is God. He came down from above. Verse 11 goes on to say, believe that I am in the Father. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. Or else believe me for the very works' sake. There's a job to be done. Jesus was telling these people. He was telling Philip. He was telling those people who were around. He was telling them that there is a job to be done. Later on, you go back and you read the book of Matthew, and you'll see how that Jesus Christ gave marching orders. We call this marching orders. He was crucified, buried, and resurrected, but yet he wanted people to go into all the world and preach and teach the gospel, baptizing individuals in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Ghost. And this is something that Jesus wants us to do today for the work's sake. And that's what he's telling us here. We don't understand everything. If we knew everything, then we would be God. Well, God reveals certain things to us from his scriptures. I read the scriptures, and I might read a scripture 4, 5, 6, or 7 times, and each time I go back, possibly I'll see something different. Doesn't mean that God is going to favor me over anyone else. That simply means that I'm seeing something that God wants me to see at that specific time. And he's letting us see these things so that for the work's sake. It's not for our sake that we work for God. It's for the sake of lost human beings that need to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Notice verse 11 again. Believe me, Jesus said, that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake, the work of spreading the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Later on we read how that the Holy Spirit would come, and the Holy Spirit would empower each believer to be able to carry on the work that Jesus wants done on this earth. The Holy Spirit would come and endue each individual who trusts Jesus Christ as Savior. He would endue them with the power that is necessary to carry on the work that Jesus Christ started while he was on this earth. You remember, he went around, he was preaching, and he was telling people how to be saved, how to go to heaven. And that's what we need to do. Now, we're not God, we're not Jesus Christ, but we represent Jesus Christ. We represent heaven. And we are to go out and tell other individuals about Jesus Christ. Verse 13, it says, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Now, he's speaking about the time when he would go back to be with the Father. And we study the Bible and we find that he is a great intercessor. When we pray and we ask anything in the name of the Lord, that goes to the Heavenly Father. He tells our Heavenly Father what we have need of, and he tells them what we're doing, and he's telling them about the praise that we praise him for. And I praise the Father today. I praise Jesus Christ. I pray God the Father and God the Spirit, because God is who saves us. Jesus Christ came, suffered on the cross of Calvary, laid down his life, that you and I could be saved. And we need to be serving him today. Are you serving him? Do you know him as your Savior? Ask yourself these questions. Do you know him as your Lord and Savior? And if you do, are you serving him?
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.